Blog Talk Radio.
Before 9/11, 48 senators voted to burn the flag of the United States of America. 8 were on the Senate Intelligence Committee, headed up by Bob Graham of Florida, Carl Levin of Michigan, Rockefeller, Wyden. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party book. And welcome to some nice sounding music. Bartender, champagne, and boogie on down.
What good is music? What good is melody? If it ain't possessing something sweet. It ain't the music. It ain't the melody. There's something else that makes that tune complete. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, do what, do what, do what, do what, do what, do what, do what. It don't mean a thing. All you gotta do is sing. I do what, do what, do what, do what, do what, do what, do what, do what. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hard. You just give that rhythm everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, do what, do what, do what, do what, do what, do what, do what. Just get that rhythm, everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, do what, do what, do what, do what, do what, do what, do what. I do what, do what, do what, do what, do what, do what, do what, do what. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
We had a pretty good show last night. We did about 6 doo-wop numbers that were fantastic. If you're into doo-wop, if it brings back old memories, or you just like the 50s type of music, you got a treat last night. We were doing things like how groups begin their song, do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do, you know, or boom-ba-da-boom, da-boom-da-boom-boom. And I came across this tune today, which I'm going to play for you, and I hope you like it.
I'd like to thank the guy
Second Boston Massacre. Did you know the Boston Massacre, only 5 people died? And that was when the British fired upon a crowd of unarmed people. And that's the reason for the Second Amendment, so that you will never be fired again unarmed. But our enemies today want to take our guns away, so we can all stand helpless in the streets while they blow us to pieces. Yes, the Second Boston Massacre, and I get a kick out of all these phony politicians. I think they have packages in a file cabinet, and what do we have, an explosion today? Give me the explosion package, number 28, and then they come out and do an Academy Award. I'd like to thank the police commissioner. I'd like to thank the street sweeper. I'd like to thank... all who donate to my party. Yeah, give me a break, man. Solve the problem, will you? Stop being the cause, the root cause. Terrible, absolutely terrible. We're not ready for anything. Our intelligence is terrible. Everybody's saying how good we are. If we're so good, how come they're picking up body parts up in Boston, Massachusetts tonight? They have just made us Middle East, too. Yes, and if you think you're going to get sympathy from anybody else in the world, you can forget about it. When you ask the question, why do they hate us? I know the answer. They hate you because you're you. So, and while you're thinking of people, and I saw a sad one today, I saw that picture of the guy in a wheelchair, you know, that was really gaunt looking. He was gray, and a guy was rushing him, and I just saw why. They showed the bottom half of the wheelchair, and all he had was his bone from the knee down. All the flesh had been torn off his leg. God bless him. God give him strength, and God give him a good personality so he can live with this situation. And I thought about all those guys that are in Afghanistan. No matter which way they turn, they're stepping into a bullet or they're stepping on an IED. And nobody cares about them. Nobody even knows there's a war on. We're in World War III. We're in the 12th year. And nobody knows it. It takes this Boston massacre to wake the people up to the fact that we are targets. Today the targets is a couple of bombs and a couple of pressure cookers. Wait till they start to bring the heavy artillery into here. And don't think they're not planning on it. And don't think they don't have people in place. And if this guy turns out to be a sortie student on a visa, I think we should pull all the visas for all the sortie students and send them back to bombland for their own protection and for our protection. In the meantime, let's go back and focus on those GIs who are dying for us every day and nobody cares. They can't even get veterans benefits. Do you know in Arlington Cemetery they've cut back on the funerals? They're just burying guys from November. Used to do 48 funerals a day, they're doing 24. And the White House is closed to little children. And this is how this jerk is going to balance the budget, by punishing the people that need help and need leadership. He's a bad man, and he's going to be the downfall of the country, and you voted for him. And you won't even know it. When they call your name to get on the truck, you'll think you're going to a party. So, and this tune is dedicated to all those GIs, the last guys out of Afghanistan, the last guys out of Iraq, who are counting the days till they come home to the girl they love, or the guy they love, if it's a woman. Anything else is not acceptable. So this tune is dedicated. Look home with Angel. Look home with Angel.
Thank you.
back to 1941. It's December the 7th, and the United States has now been forced into a war to fight. And guys are being called to come serve their country, and they're starting training. They're in Navy camps, Air Force camps, Army camps. And the girls that they were dating now will have to put their marriage plans on hold until the war is over. And they wait and wait for Johnny to come marching home. And girls like Jo Stafford was one of those girls. And she sang this song to her man overseas. This is back when people were faithful to one another. Like to hear a proposal from a guy?
Will you give me all your love?
I got to tell you something. You're going to hear a lot of excuses once they catch this sortie terrorist. The first excuse is going to be he's a radical Muslim. No, he's not. If it turns out that he's a sortie and he's a student on a visa, he is the run-of-the-mill, deeply religious Muslims. That is in the Quran, to do damage to infidels. They didn't conquer half the world by being nice guys. They don't negotiate. And if you don't believe me, ask the pilots that flew American Airlines and U.S. Air, which are merging, by the way, now. And thank God they're still alive, because usually deeply religious Muslims like to put American airline companies out of business, like TWA and Pan Am. And they were hoping they would have gotten U.S. Air and American Airlines when they took down the Clinton Towers. And it's really sad. It's really sad what's going on in this country. We can't even muster the truth. And I'm watching Imus this morning, and Bernie and Imus are talking about how great Colbert is, and he did a nice comedy routine on the Boston Massacre. Yeah, that's wonderful. And he said, the spirit of Boston. The spirit of Boston is blood in the streets. That's what the spirit of Boston is. The Boston Massacre, the original one, was less fatal than this one. It is really sad, really sad, that we've lost our liberty bells. Hang in there. And the Re-Puppies better wake up. First off, the Tea Party has to get rid of the Re-Puppies. The rhinos that are in the Republican Party, the Tea Party has to vote them out, has to vote against them, has to campaign against them. I would rather have a Democrat in their place, because I know the dirty Democrat will do dirty things, and I can expect it, and I will see what I expect. But with a rhino, you never know when he's bringing a knife out. Get rid of them now. Get rid of them now. You'll go down in size and following, but you'll have a stronger party and a more effective party. And all you youngins out there that have no idea what's going on, you have no idea how much freedom you've lost. You have no idea. Over the last 40 years, you're not going to miss what you never had. You wouldn't believe the freedoms that you've lost. I'll give you one, a divorce. In the 50s, there was no divorce. The only people that got divorced were Hollywood people, and they had to go to Mexico to get a Mexican divorce. Yep. People toughed it out. And they didn't take the vow unless they meant to keep it. Now we're all playing pigs in a blanket, and the Kardashians. These are our role models. Yeah. We kill 4,700 kids a day. And we can't wait to legalize drugs. Yes, we're going to do the weed. Yeah, oh man, if my father could see this country today, he would go bonkers. Yeah, he was one of those white racists. Yeah, yeah. But with an Irish brogue. Yeah, if he could see what this country looks like today, he would die. He would absolutely die. Welcome to the divide and conquer party. We'll rupture this country. It'll have a hernia for the rest of its life. And I have to say it one more time. The Second Amendment was not for hunters, even though Third Bird Cuomo has said it, you don't need 30 bullets to kill a deer. No, we need 30 bullets to kill a governor who turns tyrant. Yeah. The Second Amendment was to keep us from being hunted by governors like Cuomo and 16-ounce pea kiosk guys named Bloomingdale, Mohammed Bloomingdale, the keeper of the pea kiosk, 16 ounces maximum. Yeah, we're in trouble. We are falling. We are so far down the tubes, we can't see daylight no more. This is nothing. This is peanuts what took place here this weekend. This is nothing. Wait till you see what's coming. And everybody will be making speeches. Yes. What is Obama going to do? He's going to come out to Boston and he's going to tell the people in Boston he feels their pain? Why doesn't he go to Benghazi and talk to the ground and talk to the blood that's in the ground in Benghazi? And say, I'm sorry I couldn't rescue you, but you went against my orders. And I had to punish you. So that's why Hillary and I left you to die. And you saw Hillary, right? I'm not testifying. Not me. That's for the jerks. I don't testify. You know what I'll do? I'll drag it out till I'm almost out, and then I'll fake a blood clot. Anybody can get a doctor's note. Oh, not Hillary, not Fair Maiden. Let me tell you, there's things that Hillary's done that I would be ashamed of. I'm watching today, Friday, the news coverage by CBS of the Boston Massacre. And I notice that everybody has got a new buzzword that they have been assaulting the American mind with. And the buzzword is radical Islam and radicalized Islamist. 10 minutes after the normal population saw the handiwork of Islam, we knew who the martyrs were. This is the day of the Boston Massacre. They were not the infidels whose body parts were flying all over town. They were the deeply religious shahadis who were following the directions to paradise. Meanwhile, back at the Obama news networks, the word radicalized was injected in every other sentence. Even Fox the Almighty fell into brainwashing 101. My friends and wounded Americans, there is no such thing as a radicalized Muslim. Ask them. They will tell you if you switch the recorder off. The only ones who use the word radicalized are communist-educated destroyers of the American way. And the other great lie is the one they tell you, that a handful of bad Muslims have hijacked a good religion. Which one is that? Catholicism? Turn the other cheek so we can cut the rest of your head off and bash your baby's skull in with a sledgehammer like they do with Planned Slaughterhood. The first mistake Americans make is to believe the Muslims think like they do. It is easy to understand the Muslim mind because they think like us. Yes, and at 3 o'clock every Tuesday, every American is going to get a chocolate pudding delivered to the kitchen table. Ridiculous. That's right, it's ridiculous. And so is the American understanding of Islam. Nothing has changed in Islam since the Knights of the Quran rode out of Saudi Arabia, or I call it Swaudi Arabia, to conquer the world for Allah. The sword on their flag says it all. The incentive to convert was simple. Become Muslim or die. Christians who read the Nicene Creed should know it was written during the Council of Nicaea. The first Council of Nicaea was a council of Christian bishops convened in Nicaea in Bithynia, which is present-day İznik in Turkey. And when we talk about convert or die, the Turks slaughtered 1.25 million Armenians, not because they were Armenians, but because they were Christian. They won't admit to it, but Clinton never admitted to trading Elian Gonzalez for favors, did he? Yes. So, and that was under the Roman Emperor Constantine I. When the Muslim state, Islam is a government and a religion, descended upon the Christians in the city of Nicaea, they were given the same old option. Convert or die, and they chose Christ, and Nicaea is no more. See İznik in Turkey. And I think that the Topkapi Museum used to be a cathedral. Yes, there's no room for anybody but us. So, and then you turn to the Coptic Christians in Egypt, the land that sheltered baby Christ from Herod, the pro-choice Democrat. The Coptic Christians supported the Prophet Muhammad against Rome. And the Prophet guaranteed their freedom to worship their God and were under his protection. But sadly, Islam does not keep the Prophet's word. Today, good Muslims burn churches and rape Christian girls about to be married, nail African Christian boys to wooden chairs. Why is that? Because old habits are hard to break. Which brings us to the highest sacrament of Islam. Jihad is mentioned 88 times in the Holy Quran. In the Quran, you can find support for murdering infidels and Jews. Osama bin Laden has said, all American taxpayers are Jews. We have all witnessed the murder of helpless men, women, and children in the name of jihad. If you Google the Hazara, H-E-Z-A-R-A, people of Afghanistan, you may discover, because they were the wrong kind of Muslim, whole villages were wiped out and bodies that should have been buried, according to Muslim tradition, by sundown, were left to be eaten by dogs. Every marketplace kills Muslims and infidels. The death of any Muslim is insignificant as long as they get the infidel. They will even call airstrikes on their own people just to win the media war. If you don't know your enemy, he will defeat you. Intelligence failures is America's biggest problem, and it goes back to World War II. Anybody remember Pearl Harbor? What we are witnessing in Massachusetts is another warning before real disaster. Two men have tied up 1 million citizens, many unarmed, and exposed by the stupidity of politicians. If a politician, if a policeman can be killed before he can draw his gun, what are your unarmed chances? None whatsoever. That second amen was written for you personally. Do not let any un-American politician take your option away. The second amen was not written for hunters. It was written never to be altered or removed, to keep us from being altered and removed and hunted. These two very devout, I'm just going to mention one thing to you. My wife and I, many years ago, we went up to the Poconos, and we got a cabin in the woods. And that night, just as we were getting ready to go to sleep, somebody tried the doorknob. So we got very, we had nothing. We didn't have a gun. The next day, I went into town in Pennsylvania to buy a gun. And they said, well, you got to wait. You got to wait because there's a waiting period. I says, I'm only going to be here another night. What do you have that I could use? He said, well, we got a black powder pistol because black powder is legal. You know, so what's a black powder pistol? So, you know, guys like Jesse James had them. I says, okay, tonight I'll be Jesse James. So, it's nice to have a little protection. And I had another situation one time before I saw it in a James Bond movie, a flare gun. A flare gun. Think about that one. Okay, so where were we? These two very devout and faithful Muslims are following the teachings of Islam. The father has said his boy is an angel. Muslims believe, according to the Quran, that a martyr goes to heaven and receives all the goodies in paradise. There's a debate on the number of virgins that started out at 911 about 26 virgins, and now it's up to 72. And I hear that Hebrews are offering 82 with a coupon if you kill yourself in your house. Yes, you get a fatwa pillow. Yeah, money is also a benefit. Let me see if I said it. His family is treated with praise and respect. Money is also a benefit. There is no such thing as a radicalized Muslim. Some communists made that up to brainwash dumb Americans. The communist press sold the lie. Jihad is a sacrament in Islam. The reward is a high place in paradise. When World War III began, the Clinton Towers of 93 fell in 2001. That was Clinton's little going away present. That was his can that he kicked down the road. Oh, but they blame Bush. Imagine if they could blame Bush for this Boston massacre. How do you think the press would be doing today, huh? Man, you couldn't take it. Yes, so when the towers fell in 2001, we suffered the greatest military defeat in the history of the USA. The greatest generation could not believe how we wasted the lessons of World War II. These two Shahadis, apostles of Islam, have taught their followers how much damage can be done to a weak paper tiger who fights amongst themselves over petty issues like drugs, abortion, pornography, and sick sex. That is why they call us the great Shaitan. Bin Laden has told his people the USA is a giant warship, an illusion of power that does not see the dinghy that will sink it. Remember the USS Cole? It would not take much to create the great jihad in the USA. How about 50 malls in 50 cities using 50 people? Our politicians would defend their right to do it while putting Americans like Derek Miller in Fort Leavenworth without a fair trial. Google that sad story. There are three Americans that I know about that were tried in Afghanistan for crimes, and they weren't given a fair shake. They were made an example out of, and they were betrayed, and they're rotting away. Some have already been there 5 years in Fort Leavenworth, and nobody is looking out for them. And when I find their paperwork, I will do a show and remind everybody. One of them was a sniper. I'll tell you from memory. He was a sniper. He had a couple of kids. It was his like third tour of duty, and he was with a team of three, and they were watching a village, and a guy got too close to their camouflaged concealed spot, and the commanding officer of the three-man team ordered this fella that's doing time in jail to shoot the guy in the head. They grabbed him and they pulled him down, and he ordered him to shoot him in the head. As a result of that, the Iraqi government wanted to put all three on trial in an Iraqi court. And the U.S. government spirited two of them away, spirited three of them away to court in the USA, and they found two not guilty, including the officer who gave the order to shoot, and they sent this one GI back to the Iraqi court to be tried, and he was sentenced to 10 years. He's already done 5 years. Now, what happens? He joined the military to serve his country. He joined the military because he needed a job. He joined the military because he needed a paycheck. He joined the military because he wanted that paycheck to cover his children and his wife. And the government took, and get a pension. And the government took, and medical benefits. And the government took it all away. And he rots in a jail, and his wife lives on donations. I think they got two or three kids. They're rotting away in jail. And you don't hear about it because this is the crap that the government, who is stiffing us all day long, is slipping under the rug. So, having said that, okay. It would not take much to create a great jihad in the USA. How about 50 malls, 50 cities, 50 people? Our politicians would defend those 50. But not Derek Miller in Fort Leavenworth without a fair trial. Google Derek Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R. See what comes up. Yet classifying jihad on Fort Hood by a devout Muslim major, Affirmative Action Hassan, as workplace violence. Workplace violence, so that dumb Americans won't put two and two together and see that we need an American crusade to reunite and save our country. The good Muslims won't get involved. They will say nothing and avoid arguments. However, a smile does not mean agreement. They use the Godfather rule. Never let anybody know what you were thinking. Yep. And Major Hassan, he's still alive, and they've made up 1,000 excuses why they can't kill him. He's in a wheelchair, so put the rope around his neck and push the wheelchair off the platform. We can put new wheels on the wheelchair. The jihad boys get more support from Islam than you realize. There's a jihad tax on a barrel of oil. Drill it home and save American lives. The UN is riddled with jihad countries and communist countries. How could you believe Saddam had no WMDs without going to Damascus? How could you believe that Iran had no nukes when the UN inspector's name was Mohammed Baradei? Wake up, America. Don't be surprised to see a communist Islamic alliance. Ask yourself, is that possible? Whose AK-47s are being fired in the air at Benghazi, killing the four Americans Obama and Clinton left to die and not even try? Did you hear what Hanoi John Kerry said today? He said, we are fighting evil. He can't spell Muslims. John is in over his big head, and he is in over his big head, and people are starting to see it. Hey, America, aren't you tired of being told what to say and how to think? Are you afraid of being labeled? Have you given up on your God, country, and family? When the communists destroyed America in the 60s, they had us all singing, "This land is your land, and this land is my land." Now they tell you, we can't sing that song anymore. They also said, never trust anybody over 30. Now they're in their 60s. And they're not saying that lie anymore. So the next time a media stooge uses the word radicalized or religion hijacker, ask them, where is that in the Holy Quran? And by the way, if you quit that club, they kill you. Anybody want to talk about liberated women and gay rights? How about a stone franchise? 3,000 dead Americans on 911? Man, that was a lot of candy in radicalized jihad land. If they catch this new version of an American citizen, that's the second killer, under false pretenses. Yes, just because you're an American citizen doesn't make you an American, not anymore. Can they be tried by the military as a jihad combatant? Don't trust the media. Only Fox is left hanging on. Forget the Times and do Drudge. More tea, anybody? Hang in there. Hiya, boys and girls. We got late breaking news. I thought you should hear it first. The Department of Justice, led by Eric the Gunrunner Holster, Eric Holster, has just swooped down on the headquarters of the Ryson terrorists who worship the Imam Elvis Presley at their Wedding Chapel headquarters in Las Vegas. There's no V in Arabic. You have to say W. Las Vegas. And there's no P in Arabic. There's no P in Arabic. You have to say the letter B. Like when you need, when you soiled yourself, you go to a store and you buy bumpers. It is not that all Elvis Presley worshippers are terrorists. It is just a handful of radical Preslims. Don't be cruel to a heart that's true is their war cry. Anyone carrying a teddy bear will be stripped and searched. Preslism is a religion of peace. Spokesperson for the Nation of Preslism, Louis Farbigon, calls for jihad against white sport coats and pink carnations. Homeland Security Chiefette Janice Droplin Napolitano has ordered 170,000 signs to be placed at drug-free, gun-free killing zones. They will read, "Ricin is not nicin." Any child who turns in a parent who is a follower of Elvis Presley and can name that tune will get a free John Lennon, L-E-N-I-N, hammer and popsicle. It is time to round up all these Presleyites and deport them back into Saudi Arabia. It's now or never. Be sure to get the new Hillary Clinton Benghazi single, "What Does It Matter?" Hang in there, we'll give you a tune to drive you crazy. I'd like to dedicate this next tune to the sinners at the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Communist Law Center.
Thank you.
2,000 years later, and the Sanhedrin is still trying to get him. Lord, remember all us Americans down here who are losing our sons and daughters in Afghanistan and Iraq and in Boston. And comfort the ones who are suffering with mental anguish. And help us to come back home where we belong. And dear Lord, especially protect the mothers of America with children. I went to a self-torture dinner last night. You know what a self-torture dinner is? You sit with relatives who are absolutely liberal crazies, and you have to listen as a guest to their diatribe about all the things that they destroyed in America but don't recognize that they did it. And last night, legalized drugs was the big Democratic issue of the day. We need to legalize drugs. Now, this is from people that have no idea how much an 8-ball of cocaine costs. They have no idea how much a kilo of cocaine costs. They don't know how it works and what it does, but they want to legalize it. Unbelievable. And they give you the old argument that, you know, we banned liquor and it didn't solve any problems. Well, we, having experience in our family with drug users and alcohol abusers, I can tell you without reservation that the drunkies live a lot longer than the junkies. And the most that a drunkie might steal is money off the bar table, at the bar, your tip money. But the junkies, they've got a greater need for cash. And I don't know what people are thinking. I have honestly believed these politicians, they shoot their mouth off and cast their vote on the issue of the day, that day only, and they don't look down the road. What do you think is going to happen when we legalize weed? What do you think? All the problems are going to go away? Not on your life. If one out of five Americans is a pot smoker today, once they legalize it, it'll be two out of five Americans. That's the way it goes. And why? Because we are weak. We have no self-control. And marketing has a lot to do with it. If the big cigarette companies that were chased out of business decide that they're going to roll joints and they're going to be back on the shelves in all the supermarkets, this is going to be wonderful, isn't it? Yes. And what are they going to do? They're going to market it like they marketed before. And being that it's legal, they can give free samples to the kids. What, are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Are you so consumed with yourself that you don't know what's going on around you? And they don't. Not only do they want to legalize weed, they want to legalize it all.
Except heroin, not heroin.
Oh, yeah. How about OxyContin? That's going to be the big product.
We're in trouble, man.
Everybody's looking. If you get my book, the first chapter is the biggest problem in the United States. You know what the name of the first chapter is? Drugs suck. And take it from somebody who's buried a lot of relatives way before their time. Way before their time. Because they thought they could handle heroin and cocaine. Way before their time. One junkie brings down five innocent people. And they lie. You can't believe a word they tell you. They lie. At least, and they sneak around and steal. At least with the drunkies, you can hear them coming because the cans and the bottles are banging together. And I've seen guys that have lived to be 80 with nice barroom tans, you know, when your liver's going. Cirrhosis of the liver takes a lot longer to die than an OD. Too much crap in the arm. I don't know if you ever saw that movie with Denzel Washington in about when he went direct to Vietnam, and he was buying heroin in Vietnam. Did you ever see that movie? That's a true story. These people were sitting last night and saying, the Americans in Vietnam never had a drug problem. Are you kidding me? In the movie, they're smuggling cocaine, smuggling heroin in the coffins of the returning troops. And China and Vietnam teamed up to give the best, purest heroin to American troops because they wanted to disable the fighting capability. And drugs is chemical warfare, and it's a tool of the communists. And don't think that, you know, some mom didn't get her son back, killed in action, when actually it was a drug overdose. So, we fail on all levels. We fail to protect inside and outside. Legalized drugs is only good for business. And the government wants to make money on your weakness. Smaller government is what we need. We can reduce the government by 80%. 80% and not feel a difference. Let me take a break, gather my thoughts, and we'll come back. And the next subject is going to be big corporations and what they do to the little people. Let me get into it right now. A guy has a ranch. He saves up. He works hard. He saves up his money. He's real frugal. He pinches pennies. He does without lunch and dinner. He only has one meal a day. And he has just enough strength to herd a few cattle. And he saves up some money and he buys a ranch. So he gets his little ranch. And he's got a couple of head of cattle. And he works his ranch, and he makes a little money, and he works his ranch, and he makes a little money. And before you know it, he's got 5 cows, 10 cows. His ranch is all his hard work. Everything he's put into this ranch is now starting to regenerate itself. And he gets up, before you know it, he's got 100 head of cattle. Before you know it, he needs more land, and he's buying more land. Before you know it, he has to hire help. So who does he hire? People that need a job. What does he pay them? What they're willing to live with. Okay? What they will accept as decent pay. He looks out for them. They protect him, he protects them. It's a common bond. Along comes somebody and says, you know, he's very rich. And we're not getting what we should be getting. And he needs us. Without us, he can't bring his cattle to market. Let's put some pressure on him for more money. So he listens to the pleas of the people, and he, yeah, okay. You need more money? All right, I'll give you some more money. So he gives him some more money. A month later, they're back. It's not enough. We need more. As a matter of fact, you own everything, and we have nothing. Give us some of what you own. Why should I do that? You weren't here when I first started out. You weren't here when I was making sacrifices. You know what? I got 2 options here. I can hire a whole new set of hands tomorrow, or I can shut down the size of my operation and do without this communist help. And that's what it is. And that's how communism begins. And if you listen to the Bible story that where Jesus talks about, he went out in the morning. A farmer went out in the morning and he hired people to work his land and they agreed to a certain price, and then he went out at noon and he hired more people and they agreed to a certain price, and he went out at the end of the day about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and he hired more people, and when payday came, he paid the people at 3 o'clock what he paid the people at 8 o'clock in the morning. And the people at 8 o'clock in the morning told him it wasn't fair. And he said to them, what did he say to them? You agreed to that price. You accepted that price. Now you see that I'm being more generous with some people than others. And you're telling me I can't do it with my money? go to hell. And that's the story. Greed and jealousy is what's consuming the country. So hang in there. We'll give you a tune. And these are Democrats. And, you know, Democrat good, Republican bad. You know, oh, yeah, this happened under Reagan. And, you know, and that's why the country is gone. Yeah. Oh, man. It's sickening. It's really sickening. They have one train of thought. Anyway, they're talking about greedy corporations. And I had to get them, man. I said, I love Exxon. I love Exxon. I don't like Elf Aquitaine. I don't like British Petroleum. I don't like Luke from the Soviet Union. But I like Exxon. And so does most of the American people who have Exxon in their 401ks. You probably have Exxon in your 401k.
That's big corporations. They're spilling the oil all over the place. And fracking. Oh, they don't like fracking.
And they've already already painted fracking as dangerous, and the oil leaks into the water system and methane gas comes out your faucet. And fracking is no good. What they're really saying is fracking is freedom, and freedom is no good. As soon as I say frack everything, man, frack everybody. As soon as we're pumping gas and we're pumping natural gas and oil through the fracking system throughout the land, we don't have to give money to Saudi Arabia and pay the jihad tax so they can send people here to kill us and subdue us and tie up our courts with Mickey Mouse crap using Mickey Mouse lawyers and Mickey Mouse politicians who all should be out of work. Shakespeare said it right. Kill all the lawyers. And I say, lawyers should be a vocation, and they don't get paid. And see how quick they go to court to defend you. Oh, I'm not going today. There's no money in it. Yeah. And beware of people who send lawyers to represent them in government, because all the lawyers are going to do is create laws that only they understand. And you're going to be the little fool that needs a translator so you can find out how they hurt you today. Well, how did they hurt me today? Well, according to Section 29, Paragraph B, yeah, you know what? If you can't pass a law in caps on one piece of paper, you don't need it. Hang in there. I'm promising you a tune. It's coming up. And the other thing is, now it's evil corporations that make their money overseas. I said, well, how did they get overseas? Well, they went over there because they're slave labor. What countries are they going to with this that has slave labor? Communist countries. Communist countries have slave labor. Those girls that are working day and night with clothespins on their eyes to keep them awake. On a big pile of dungarees that's coming into Calvin Klein. Yeah. And the manager of the business is a colonel in a business suit. Yeah, that's where they're going. And who sent them there? The EPA sent them there. They drove all the industry out of the United States. Do you think the carpet and textile industry in North Carolina wanted to walk away from North Carolina? Were they mad at North Carolina? They couldn't survive.
Oh, no, it's those big greedy corporations with the corporate executives making big corporate profits.
Oh, yeah. Them, too. Yeah, but if you were one of those big greedy corporate executives, it would be okay. Never forget, communism is good for the man who gets on top. Everybody else is dead man walking. And in the communist system, the guy at the top kills all those closest to him. Never forget that, comrade. Yeah, so now, and I said, you know how bad it is? This government chased all this business overseas. Now this business overseas, and by the way, they showed me an iPod they just bought. What a beautiful iPod. It's made in China. Yeah, and isn't Apple a big corporation, a big greedy corporation? So here you are telling me how bad they are, and you're supporting them financially. Give me a break.
Give me a Kit Kat bar. Give me a break. But these communists, and that's it. This guy is a college graduate. He's half a professor. He's a lawyer. And he's teaching kids. And I said, my God, are you telling, you're talking this kind of stuff to your students? I said, what chance do they have? They probably think you're the greatest guru since Maharishi John Lennon. Unbelievable. Our country is gone, man. And the people that destroyed it won't take credit for it. Yeah. So they say, oh, well, you know, these big corporate greedy bastards, they're overseas and they're exploiting the people. How do you exploit the Chinese in communist China? You can't do it without government permission. Yeah, give me a break. Yeah, so they're over there in their offshore accounts, and they've got all this profits, like Apple. Oh, you bought that? How much you pay for it? $800. Oh, you know how much it costs to make in China? $5 is 1 year salary. Yeah, greedy corporations. Yes, they are greedy. And you made them greedy. You chased them out of this country. And you told them they couldn't have smokestacks here. So they made the smokestacks in China. Oh, and you know, GM. GM is now a Chinese corporation. I said, GM should have been forced out of business for being stupid and greedy. They never should have been allowed to sidestep the bankruptcy laws in this country. And all they did was take that ranch hand who built that ranch up to where he needed help to continue it, to continue to grow. And all they did was they screwed the owners of that ranch. The stockholders got screwed. The dealers who were forced to go out of business got screwed. And the profits and the loans from the federal government, which is you, the biggest taxpayer in America, went to the unions so that they could vote for Obama. Oh no, the unions didn't get anything. Let me tell you something. Preferred stockholders, according to the law, get paid first. Hang in there. I got a call. I know who this is. There's a guy on Bob Grant. He calls in every Sunday. Usually he calls in the last 15 minutes of the show. That was somebody telling me that he called in. And his biggest kick is that when the wall came down, it just let more KGB agents into the United States because our wall came down also. And you can see from our border protection, which sucks, entirely sucks, okay, and is enabled by politicians looking for votes from terrorists. Okay, you can see our border protection sucks. Our language protection sucks. Okay, but that's another story. But this guy is, his name is Jimmy from Brooklyn. You can catch him on Bob Grant almost every Sunday he calls in. His biggest kick this week is the Soviet Union, which never collapsed. Okay, it just changed dresses. It's the 80th anniversary of the murder of 10 million Ukrainians who were starved to death. And if you want to learn, you know, the communists got you watching the Nazis who died in 1945. But they'll never draw the limelight on them. If you want to see what the communists did in 1930 to 1933 and how they control the world in many aspects, you got to see the slaughter of the Ukrainians. 10 million of them were starved to death. It is so horrific. They used to eat their own children. And they were the farm belt of Russia. And they had little farms. And the communists come in and put them out of business. And the end result was they killed 10 million of them. You wouldn't believe. There is a guy, oh, his name is Gareth something. He wrote a book on how communism really slaughters people. And he said he was in that area at that time. And he was eating
a sandwich, and he took the crust and he threw it in the toilet, and a guy went into the toilet to get the crust. Okay, so do some research on the murder of the Ukrainians, 10 to 12 million of them, and you'll see what fate awaits you if you let these Democrats lead you into communism. And when I was talking to my relatives last night, and this professor was talking about this and that and all these other things, I said, you're teaching communism in your school. Do your kids know that? Unbelievable. And they outgrew God. You know, beware of intellectuals who are smarter than God. Okay, so what were we talking about? Oh, we were talking about how the communists, led by the EPA, that's an arm of the Soviet Union here in the United States, they put the small farmer out of business. They're wiping out the fishing industry. The small independent boat owner up in Massachusetts, they're slaughtering them. They're torturing them to death. They're slowly squeezing them out of the picture. They do not want to see any oil independence in the United States. And California is the biggest sinner, and California can't pay its bills, and hardworking people in Nebraska are going to send their tax money to Washington, and that money is going to be used to subsidize the communists in California who want free crap. Okay? They can't pay their bills. And you know the story. Millions are leaving. And it's all business. All businesses are pulling out. They're all in Oklahoma. They're hiding in Oklahoma. But let's go back to driving all of these industries, these polluting industries. Did the EPA ever go into a coal mining town and say, hey, listen, you got a problem here with coal. There's a lot of dust and dirt in the air. We're going to lend you money to improve your coal mining. No, they never did. You know what they did? They fined them out of business. They shut them down. Now, why did they do that? For the good of the people? BS, man. BS. They did that to cripple American industry. The one thing that won World War II was American industry. The United States will never be allowed ever again to have as strong as an industry as they had in World War II. And these same people I'm sitting with last night told me 20 years ago that the United States will no longer be a manufacturing country. We're going to do the billing. We're going to be the service industry that does the billing for the manufacturers who will be chased out of this country and sent overseas. Well, I got news for you. They also got the billing industry overseas now. So what do you got for a job? Well, we're looking, and one day we're going to get one. Yeah, tell me about it. So they drove all this industry overseas. The smokestacks that were here in the United States are now in China, and the trade winds bring the smoke. The trade winds, it's a one-way trade. Did you know it's a one-way trade? Maersk has the biggest shipping container in the world. It holds 4,000 containers. It comes into a California port, and it takes them 4 days to get here, and they unload the 4,000 containers, most of which goes to Walmart, and the container ship goes back empty. Oh, we have a balance of trade deficit. No crap, Dick Tracy. Why is that? I say small business, small manufacturing, big business, big manufacturing. It's time to rejuvenate. It's time to remanufacture the United States. I want to see a mom and pop in Gloversville, New York, with a little factory. They go in every morning. They push the button to turn the lights on. They push the second button to start the production line. And they're making combs. They're making toothbrushes. They're making everything. Made in USA should be the only way to go. Nobody is going to take us in when we fall. There is not going to be a Marshall Plan for us. So back to the countries, the companies that went overseas. Now they've got big profits. So what does the government do? The government then hounded them out of here. And let me tell you, if you want to go after big business, you go after the United States government, because there's nobody bigger than the United States government. And if you want to go after big business, reduce the United States government by 80%. So, back to the guys overseas. Got the money. So what does the government do? They chase them out of here. Now they turn around and they go, come on back. Come on back. We'll make a deal. We'll take some of your money, but not all of your money. Come on back. Come on, come on. We're your friend. Would you come back? Would you give up? Huh? You just put me through all this expense of moving my company, putting people that worked for me for years out of work, and you now want me to come back and bring my profits so you can put your greasy hands on them? Get out of here. Wake up, America. You're losing your shirt. Hang in there. And, of course, all my relatives are looking at me like I'm a McCarthyite, radical, quick to fly off the handle, a Yankee Doodle Dandy. You know, it's terrible. There is a saying, is an Irish saying, when all around you can, if you can keep your head when all around you are losing theirs, you obviously don't understand the situation. And that's the same thing. I'm the only guy that's losing my self-control because these people are sticking knives in me. Unbelievable. And they do it so subtly. Oh, and you argue with the Democrat, man. They're so cool, calm, and collected. Yeah. Until the pilot says, we're going back to the airport. Hey, that isn't the guy that talked to me before. Everything is going to be good. Yes, be calm and do not try to make any strange moves. He sounds different than the captain. It said, welcome aboard, flight 422. Yeah. Yeah, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. You got two kids. Two kids went up and tied up Boston. A million people couldn't come out of their houses. Two kids with pot roasts. Two kids with pressure cookers. All right? And you see, there was a couple that were up there on their honeymoon, and they lost their legs. Oh, man. What a low blow. And did I tell you that I don't believe in a citizen's rights if they lie to become a citizen, and instead of taking an oath to defend the United States, they took an oath to Allah and to destroy the United States? That canceled out their citizenship application, and they are now an enemy combatant and should be killed on the battlefield. I don't want to know what he knows. I don't care what he knows. I would rather hear he's been dispatched to paradise. Doesn't matter. We'll learn from other jerks. And I got to tell you, these two guys, they were trainees, and they were very bad trainees. They didn't even have an escape route. John Wilkes Booth had an escape route. And they didn't have an escape route. And they didn't think anybody would see him on the cameras. So how sophisticated are these? Wait until you get the professional jihadi, the shahadi. Wait till you get the Al-Qaeda, who scare the Taliban. If you see the interview the Taliban, they will tell you they fight to win. The Al-Qaeda comes to die. They come to die. They already know they're not going home. They're going straight to paradise. Wait till you get those guys here. Wait till you see them come over the Canadian border. And there's a lot of Muslims up in Canada. And they're citizens. Canadian citizens. And then, of course, you got the drug routes they can come up through South America. They just caught a guy from Bangladesh coming up through the through South America. Yeah. We're in trouble. We're not ready for anything. We haven't learned any history lessons. They're not teaching history. They might be teaching communist history and civil rights history, anything that divides the country history, but they're not teaching American history because Americans know better. And of that million people, how many you think had guns? 20%? And the other 80% wish they had them that night. It's all right, don't worry. We've got the place 20 blocks all cordoned off. Don't worry. They won't come in here and shoot the men and then torture the women. Nah, don't worry about that. We got you covered. As soon as we hear the shots, we'll surround the place. We'll throw in some grenades. We'll be okay. We're not ready for anything. We're in trouble. You have no idea. You see the you know what you do? Google Beirut barracks bombing. 200 Marines got killed. And the guy they had on guard duty didn't have a loaded weapon. Because we were part of a peace team. So what, do you have to be stupid? And what did we do? We packed our bags and ran. Because we were part of a peace team, but nobody wanted peace. And they killed 200 guys in their sleep. And one of those guys was a Marine named Chapura. And he survived the Beirut barracks bombing. And guess what? He became a New York City fireman. And Al-Qaeda got him on 911. They missed him in Beirut, but they got him on 911. Wait till these shahadis, the professional IED experts, come to the United States. Wait till 50 crazed, deeply religious Muslims open up in 50 malls in 50 states shouting Allahu Akbar. And you see breaking news breaking your heart. And then you're going to say to yourself, we got to do something. But the horse will already be out of the barn, and the barn has been blown up anyway. We're in trouble. We're not ready for anything. You think Janet Napolitano has any idea what's going on? If she does, she's covering it up. You think John Kerry is in up to his ears, or is he in over his head? We're fighting evil, John Kerry said. And even the Democrats couldn't believe he said that. They think I make it up. That was the big headline. John Kerry, his battle quote, we're fighting evil. No crap, Dick Tracy. Yeah, we're in trouble. And where is Osama bin Laden? You haven't heard a peep from him. Flies out. He thinks he got the wrong speech. He was reading the one from Sandy. Man, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. The FBI director, Mueller, he spends more time protecting mosques. Every time you read about FBI protector Mueller, he's protecting another mosque. Have you heard anything from him? Has he explained how this 2 years ago they interviewed the 28-year-old and they gave him a clean bill of health under Barack Hussein Obama? Yeah. The man who hates America the most. Yeah. If they came to another election, I think I would write in Putin's name. I think we'd have a better chance. I think Putin would give America a better shake. It is sad. And the worst part is this radicalization lie. Oh, yes, they've hijacked a religion of peace. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. And Imam gets 20% of all booty taken in jihad. That's in the contract. No, we've hijacked the religion of peace. Not, you know, I know some good Muslims, so do I. But you know what? If it's only 10%, it's a million. Give me a break, man. Give me a break. If it's only 1%, it's a million. Oh, God. We're wide open. Oh, they're citizens. We have to protect them as citizens. Hey, I'm the king of France. You have to protect me. You're not the king of France. You're an imposter. That's right. And a guy who takes an oath to defend the United States and then blows up Boston is an imposter also. And that's an automatic revocation of your citizenship rights. You have now become the enemy. And you are fighting for Al-Qaeda. You are fighting for Islam. And you are shooting for 72 virgins in paradise. Yes. And you hate this country.
I'm an American citizen.
You know what? I watched when Israel went into Lebanon. The big headline was 10,000 Americans trapped in Lebanon. And then they showed a picture of them. And they were all wearing burqas. Unbelievable. We are sucker city. And I'd like to know where all the money came from. Is it drug money? This guy had a BMW. The other guy had an early Mercedes. The father moved away 2 years ago.
What? He said, okay, boys, you know what to do. I'll be waiting for the good news in Russia.
He said his son was an angel. What did he mean that his son was an angel? That he died and went to paradise?
We're in trouble. We're letting all, and Boston's got a lot of Chechens. And remember, Muslims have allegiance to Allah. That is their country. Paradise is their country. Allah is their leader. Nobody else is important.
Now, I watched the Boston, the first Boston game, and they sang the Star Spangled Banner. That's the first time I've heard the Star Spangled Banner being sung by an audience. The first time, and I can't remember when. But as a kid growing up, when the TV came on in the morning, the network opened up with the Star Spangled Banner. And when the TV shut down at 11 or 12 o'clock at night, the network closed with the Star Spangled Banner, and they would show you jets flying over, and they'd show you the American flag waving. Now, they're putting chaplains in jail for saying Jesus Christ outside a closed room. They're court-martialing chaplains for praying. When did we lose our country? Somebody sent me something. I'm going to read it to you. Hang in there. I said during the last election that if I was running for president, and of course everybody plays this game, if I was president, what I would do. How many times have you played that game? I say, if I was running for president, you know what my campaign promise would be? I'll only steal half of what the other guys are stealing. How's that for a campaign promise? Now here's another campaign promise. You don't want me to be president. Do not vote for me, because the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get rid of everybody that's a threat to the United States, and that's a lot of people. You don't want me to be president. I'm going to be controversial. You don't want me as president. Obama has appointed 6 people. These are people that are, I think, on his czar program. I see one is on the czar program. Okay, and somebody sent me this, and they're all Arab names. Arif Ali Khan, Assistant Secretary for Policy Development for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, who bought more bullets than were used in World War II in Homeland Security. Oh, Social Security is the one. They got a cache of munitions. Social Security. That's in case you go and ask for your money up front and you want a lump sum payment. They'll give you a lump sum. Mohammed Ali Biari, Homeland Security Advisor. Rashad Hussein, Special Envoy to the OIC, Organization of the Islamic Conference. Salam al-Marati, Obama advisor, founder, Muslim Public Affairs Council, and its current executive director. Imam Mohammed Majid, Obama's Sharia czar, Islamic Society of North America, Islamic Society of North America. Ibu Patel, Advisory Council on Faith-Based Neighborhood Partnerships. What's a faith-based neighborhood partnership? Advisory Council. Partnered with Ibu Patel. My friends, we lost our country. Soon, we're going to have to take numbers. You're going to get an additional number to your Social Security number. It's going to be an execution number. Oh, that could never happen. Not in the United States. Are they trying to take your guns away? Oh, well, that's for a different reason. What reason? They want to kill us. Yeah. Don't ever let them take your guns away. You let them kill the second amen, you're dead. You're dead man walking. You have no choice. You have no chance. Now when they come to your house, they got to armor up. Once they take your guns away, they can just send a couple of guys with baseball bats. We're in trouble. And again, those million people that were told to stay inside their homes and don't go to work. Did they have protection? Okay, honey, you get the kitchen knife. I'll use these scissors. Honey, would you do me a favor? Would you give me my .45 and give the kids, every kid, a shotgun? Now, don't shoot just because they knock on the door. Say who's there before you shoot. Yeah. Oh, gun violence. You know what we'll do now? We got three signs going up. We got the drug-free zone sign, which means you can sell drugs in the school district. We got the gun-free zone, which means you can kill the teachers and the students. And now we're going to have the pot roast, pressure cooker. This is a pressure cooker, a free zone. Oh, man. Are we the stupidest people on earth? Huh? What are you going to do when you go to the bank and the clerk hands you a receipt for half your 401k, which the government just borrowed? Oh, we didn't seize his 401k. He's crying for nothing. We're borrowing it. We fell behind on our bills, and it's our right as your government looking out for you to make sure that we can pay those bills. I mean, GSA is almost out of wine. Oh, man. It is sad. It is sad. It is absolutely sad. You have no idea. You have no idea how much money is wasted in government. You have no idea. None whatsoever. Your wife is putting two cans back on the shelf because she went over her budget for food at the supermarket. And you got these people having their picture taken in a hot tub with two glasses of wine. And they'll only show you the head of the GSA. They won't show you who's sitting at the other end of the tub. Why won't they show you who's sitting at the other end of the tub? Is it his wife? Is it his girlfriend? Is it a guy from work? Oh, man. Is this a marriage ceremony? Oh, and if you take a look at that picture, the wine glasses are different. They're not the same wine glasses. Why is that? And he got a big gold chain around his neck. Yeah, that's like a life preserver in case he sinks. Oh, we are sucker city. We are sucker city. I got to tell you. I grew up in an Irish Catholic neighborhood. There was a church every 20 blocks. Guys used to give directions by, well, you go to the Good Shepherd and you make a right and you go 20 blocks and it'll be St. Elizabeth's. And then you continue on down to St. Rosalima. And then you can go a little bit further and you've got St. Catherine of Siena. and the churches were full. I can remember going to work on 57th Street and Columbus Circle, and there was a church there. And I probably had to be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was probably about 7:30, and the church was full of people, packed to the back. They were standing on the back steps. I haven't seen that since I was in Kuwait, and a Catholic church had crosses cut in the doors because they couldn't have a cross on the top of the church. And truckloads, in 120-degree weather, truckloads of Catholic Indians in steak rack trucks, all packed in like sardines, pulled into the parking lot because the church was full, and they listened to Mass and under the hot blazing sun in a steak rack truck, and they listened to Mass for an hour. I haven't seen that fervor in my country since the 1950s. We got too good for God. What happened? We couldn't keep his rules? Is that what it is? So we got rid of him? Huh? We didn't try to mend our ways? We didn't try to say, hey, we fell, Lord, can you help us up? Everybody goes to a shrink when they're thinking of suicide, and nobody goes and sits with a priest. Why not? Because the media has painted all priests as sexual perverts. But look at all the sexual perverts that are trying to get into the Boy Scouts. They're not Catholic priests. They're lawyers. Yep, we've lost it. Are we going to get it back? Not with this school system. We're not getting it back. Your kids are plugged already. They're plugged from preschool. I'll give you an example. I got two grandchildren. One just went into kindergarten. One is in preschool. Both of them started out in a Catholic preschool program. Now, the oldest one has gone into a public preschool, and the one in the public preschool turned to his sister the other day and said, you won't be saying any prayers when you get into kindergarten. And I was shocked. This is out of the mouths of a six-year-old. And I go, how come? Why do you say that? He says, I've been there 89 days and they haven't said a prayer yet. How's that? He's a six-year-old. He's counting. He's learned to count to 89. And he knows there's no prayer. You think about that. And speaking of prayers, you have no time for God. You can't give him 1 hour a week. Huh? He gave you your life. He created the universe. And you're not going to go and say thank you? How about just going into a church during the week when nobody's there and just sitting in a pew? And see how clear your mind gets. We're dedicating this tune. It's a little short one. And we're dedicating it to all the GIs who suffer post-traumatic stress syndrome, and to all the victims who are going to suffer post-traumatic stress syndrome in Massachusetts. And it's really sad. And this is just the beginning. We're just getting... This war is coming here. It is coming here. And we're not ready. There's more excuse packages already pre-prepared. I'd like to thank the Academy. I'd like to thank Sergeant so-and-so. And we did a wonderful job. We all did a wonderful job. And Mario Cuomo says it's all the fault of the gun nuts and the Christians. Yeah. So I'm dedicating this tune, and I'm dedicating it that we're saying a prayer for Mel Gibson, that he gets his life back in order, because he has a brave heart.